All right, folks, welcome to Nino's Corner.tv. I am joined with the one and only. You may have seen him on television, Matthew Cox. This is crazy to me, Matt. This what's happening here with titles, with houses, people having their houses, their equity stolen right from under them. They have no idea. Let me just give you a brief overview of who Matthew Cox is. Matthew Cox, who I'm talking to right here, is a former criminal. Turned advocate for justice, brings a unique perspective to his role as a spokesperson for Home Title Lock. From mortgage broker to career criminal, Cox found himself in a crime spree of title theft, identity theft, and mortgage fraud, faking credit histories and creating counterfeit documents to extract fraudulent loans and disappear with homeowners' equity. Wow.
It's about right.
So
it's pretty good.
Yeah. So let me ask you, man. Well, first of all, thank you for joining me, man. It's an honor. So now you were on the dark side. Now you're working for the good side. Why the change? Why did you, was it because you got caught? Why the change of beliefs here? Why did you turn?
Yeah. I would love to say, one day I just felt really, really bad,
and I didn't,
I turned myself and said, listen, I made some mistakes, but what really happened is obviously I got caught. I went to prison. I got a significant amount of time and, I'm sitting in prison and I'm hanging out with a bunch of fraudsters and scammers and con men. And I'm listening to them all basically talk about how do they about getting out of prison and, changing their name or hiring reputation.com to bury all the information, all the stuff out there. And I just remember thinking, and I had had a conversation with another inmate, and he had said that you cannot come to prison, continue to act and behave in the manner that got you to prison, and then leave prison and not expect to come back.
Right. Obviously.
And so, well, you'd be shocked.
Well, no, you actually go there and get a better education.
Well, no, a lot of times you're right. A lot of times, and I've joked about that saying, I went into prison with a GED and left with like a master's degree in fraud. Wow. But I got there and I thought, I just can't keep doing this. Like I got too much time and I can't do this. And I'm not going to go out and then change my name and try and restart some scam. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
These are the things that led me to prison. And as a result of that, I said, what I'm going to do? I'm just going to lean into it. I'm going to get out and I'm going to tell everybody what I did. And I'm going to try and just reset my life. But I'm not going to lie about these things anymore, because lying is what got me into this to begin with.
Wow. And let me ask you this. You didn't have any remorse for the people you hurt? Or, I mean, that's a lot of people that have their lives just ruined.
I agree. I hear what you're saying, but the fact is look, and this is probably not the correct, I know this isn't what people want to hear, but the truth is, if you're committing crime on a regular basis and you've made this your livelihood, you're a psychopath.
You're a psychopath?
Yeah. Well, there are different, obviously it's a scale. Am I narcissistic? Sure. Am I a 10 out of 10? No, but I'm probably around a 6.
Dude, that's actually very commendable that you're actually admitting this.
Well, I mean, let's face it. 2 to 3% of society have some form of antisocial disorder.
Right.
1% of society is currently locked up. Hey, like 20% of society has felonies. So 95% of the inmates that are currently incarcerated fall within the scale of being antisocial at all times. So to say that I got there and I was the nice guy and I felt horrible and I, it kept me awake at night, and it didn't keep me awake at night. It didn't mean anything to me. I have very little empathy. And it's just, it's a character flaw. I'm not saying, okay. That's just the way it is.
That's pretty crazy. Cause I was a professional heavyweight boxer. That's why it's Nino's Corner. The whole thing. I was 36-0, and I would just go in and dismantle and destroy guys, right? But afterwards, I always felt like I wanted to kill them in the ring. Like I really did. I was sick like that. Like I wanted to do that. But afterwards, I'd be like, "Hey, man, let's go have a beer. Let's go hang out. You know, and I'd put my arm around them and we'd leave the ring and they'd be the nicest people. But I felt guilty afterwards, not going into it. So I had that empathy there, but only afterwards, only after I did, after I knocked him out or did whatever I did. But going into it, I was a destroyer, right? But you had no remorse even after doing this. I mean, I'm trying to get into your mindset here. That's what's so intriguing to me. It's fascinating. I'm sorry. It's just fascinating. I almost look at it as the same as like what a serial killer would be.
Well, I mean, I think you also have to understand that, like, I'm a guy that opens up doors for old people. I pick up trash. In life in general, I'm an extremely honest person. However, if I'm running a scam, I'll look you right in the face, tell you my name is Lee Black. I'll tell you that I work for a manufactured funding group. I will tell you I'm selling this house or that house. I'm renovating the neighborhood. I have a complete cover story. I'll give you false documents. And I'll convince you to your bank to write me a check for $250,000 and I'll walk out and feel absolutely amazing about myself. I'll go home and sleep like a baby that night because that's my job. Now, the next day, I might pay for the woman's groceries in front of me at the supermarket because her food stamp card didn't.
You're able to compartmentalize everything.
Absolutely. I mean, I use that example all the time because I've heard this question asked all the time. I'm very good at compartmentalizing. I have certain friends. Listen, I could be friends with pretty much anybody. You know, it's like saying this. It's like saying, hey, you know, I'm married now, but, you know, I used to say, hey, I'd date Casey Anthony. She looks like a fun chick to be around. But if she said, hey, I think we should have kids, I'd be like, no. Bad idea. We're not going to do that. But you seem like a lot of fun to go to the movies with. So you see what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you have friends. I have friends right now that just got out of prison and they've done horrific things. But the truth is, as my friend, they're an amazing individual, not somebody I would want to invest my life savings with. Guy was locked up for a Ponzi scheme. But as a friend, he's great to hang out with and go to dinner.
I'm the same way. I have many different walks of life, friends from different walks of life. And I compartmentalize. I put limitations on them, not expectations. I always just say, he's good for this, this, and that, not to do this, this, and that. Like, I have friends I used to party with, but I wouldn't bring them in my house because I know they were thieves.
Yeah, you don't want them to date your sister.
You're like, right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I'm the same way. So I can kind of see where you're coming from. I just have, I guess, some people would look, you would look at someone who has empathy as a flaw, right?
You know, I mean, it's like people that...
That's a weakness to you.
People that feed the homeless and work with, work with special needs. Like, you know, God bless those people. Society needs them and God bless them. I'm not doing it.
Are you a God-fearing man? Do you have any belief in God?
I do have. I actually go to church like every Sunday with my wife. I love it. Really? I feel very good about it. I feel great there. I feel great afterward. I never mention it because people in general don't see that in me.
Right.
You know, they, but it makes me feel like that is, you know, this is so off topic. Anyway.
It's okay. No, we're going to get to everything.
I think, you know, I feel that the United States or Western society in general is based on Christian principles. And I think, and I agree with those principles. And, you know, and I think that living by those principles, had I lived by those principles, I never would have gotten in trouble. I never would have gone to prison. I never would have caused the financial hardship that I've caused to people and the stress and anxiety. And I wouldn't have to be here right now. You know, if I had been a decent individual and I needed money, I would have gotten a second job. You know, I would have been there to raise my kids, to teach Little League. That's what a decent human being does. Like, the middle class of this country is what has built this country and is being eroded. And so, you know, I believe in those values. I like going, and I believe that had I always had those values instilled in me and believed in them and practiced them, then I would have, you know, been a far decent, more decent human being than.
Can I ask you before we get into the big questions, you know, about this scam?
Right.
I'm just trying to get into the mind here because I want people to know what they're dealing with these type of people. Would you say, so you said you're a psychopath, you have that trait, definitely.
Definitely
would you
on the
say
scale.
On a scale, okay. So, but would you say it's genetic Or would you say it's you were raised that way, or would you say it's both?
No,
I mean,
I would say genetic. I
genetic.
would say genetic because
It's
I
just
had
something you've never had, even as a kid, the empathy.
I had a great childhood because I look at my, you know, I look at my siblings and they're all, you know, they're all great people and they've all done very well. And we were raised by the same exact parents. And, you know, like my mom said, you get a bad egg sometimes.
But you're able to love, right? You love, you still love people.
Sure,
You,
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get into
it.
I just wanted to, I wanted to dive in just a little bit to see the mindset. I find it very fascinating. So let's talk about house stealing. It's a phrase coined by the FBI to warn consumers about this crime. What does that mean? What does it mean?
So what's happening that people don't understand is that their homes are vulnerable. And it's funny because it's been going on for 20 years, at a minimum of 20 years. And it's just now really hitting the mainstream because it's become so prevalent that everybody is doing it now, you know? And what that means is that you think that you live in a house that's worth $700,000 and you think your house is perfectly safe. And you think, oh, well, not only do I not have any real equity in my house, I owe a mortgage on it for $650,000. So I barely have any equity. How could anybody do anything with this property? Well, what I would do is I could go to your house. I could, one, and there's many ways to do it. Maybe I would just transfer the deed to your home into a fake identity's name or a synthetic identity. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
Or maybe just an associate of mine that is perfectly willing to be named, because there are lots of people that have drug habits and things and they don't care. They're like, if you're telling me you're going to give me $100,000, like I'll go to jail if I get caught. That's fine. Yeah. So you would transfer the deed to your $700,000 house into this person's name, this synthetic identity's name or fake identity. And you think, okay, well, what can he do with my house? Well, then what I do, and keep in mind, you don't know this has happened. You don't, public records isn't notifying you that, hey, your title was just switched. So that's happened. You're still sleeping there, living there, eating your dinners. And then what I do is I go in and I satisfy the loan on your property. Let's say you owe, you know, Bank of America, $650,000. And you think somehow that kind of protects you because there's not a lot of equity there. Well, what I do is I create a fake satisfaction of mortgage from Bank of America and I record it in downtown on your title. And now if a title company or a bank or anyone were to go look at your title, they see that this home was was purchased by this person for $700,000, is worth $700,000, and there's no mortgage on it.
Damn.
I can now turn around. I can go to SunTrust Bank or, you know, Hillsborough Credit Union. And I can say, hey, I'd like to borrow some money on this property. And even if I have no credit or bad credit, they're going to say, wow, you know, we won't give you $700,000. We'll give you, you know, 80% of that, $560,000. And I go, okay, that's all you'll give me. And then we have a closing, they wire the money to the title company. The title company says where I want the money wired. I wire it to a bank account. I then separate it into multiple bank accounts.
And the owners are never contacted. They don't even know any of this happened.
They're not the owners. I'm the owner. Wow. They're not the owners. Why would they contact them?
What happens to the people?
Well, what happens to people is once we've got all the money and the first payment is on your house on a new purchase isn't even typically even due for at least 45 days. So in 45 days, they might get a letter in the mail. That's if I give the new mortgage company or bank, if I give the bank their address to their home to mail the payment to. Typically, I would give it, I would have that mailed somewhere else. But what happens is at some point, 60, 90, 120 days, somebody shows up the house and pins a foreclosure notice on the house.
Holy cow.
Suddenly you're saying, what's going on? This is saying you're foreclosing on my property. You're saying it's in the name of someone else. And you're saying that this person borrowed money on my property. That's not true. I own this property. I owe Bank of America. I make my payments every single month. And now you have to go through the process of one, you, of course, you immediately contact the authorities. Sometimes they take it seriously. Sometimes they say, well, it sounds like there was some kind of issue with the bank. That sounds civil to us. Sometimes they say, hey, okay, it's criminal. And maybe they try and look for me. They'll never find, they don't find me. You know, they look and look and look. Even if they catch me, how do you get the property? How do you, because it's up to you to stop the new bank from foreclosing. It's up to you to explain to the new bank what happened. It's up to you to go through the court system to correct the problem that's occurred. So you have to go hire an attorney, because you're not an attorney. You're some guy that is a manager at Home Depot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you work at, you know, you work in the stockroom at Walmart. Like, you're not prepared to go.
How do you target a house? How do you know who to go after?
I drive through a neighborhood. Like, honestly, if I drove through a neighborhood, when I was shooting commercial with Home Title Lock, and we were driving through neighborhoods, and they were asking me, like, well, which houses look good to you? I was like, that house, that house, that house,
any
that
house.
Is it a house that I think someone lives in? That's fine. I would probably. So here's the problem: is you want to have a house that's in decent enough condition so that I can get an appraisal on it. But if the house is not in good condition, let's say it's in disrepair, or it's vacant, or it's in raw land,
growing weeds or something like that.
Of course, I can sell that house too. I'm not going to get as much for it, but certainly I could sell it. Maybe I could refinance it. I could go to a hard money lender and get him to give me a mortgage on the property. I'm not going to get the same value. Or in some cases, I would borrow 4 and 5 mortgages on one piece of property.
How many of these did you do? How many scams like this did you accomplish?
I mean, I've committed title fraud and various types of title fraud, you know, over 100 times easily.
Wow. Look,
the FBI said in
Tampa, you've made millions. You've made millions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was. So the figure is $55 million in fraud. I was personally held responsible for $15 million. So the FBI said in Tampa alone, keep in mind I was on the run for 3 years and I continue to do this, but in Tampa alone, they said I did over 109 houses.
Damn.
In 18 months. They said I was involved.
So they were after you for how long?
Well, once I was on the run, I had been caught once before, placed on probation. And during the probation, while I was on probation, I borrowed $11.5 million. Once again, these are according to the FBI. That's, you know, what they know. And then when I was on the run, I was on the run for 3 years, and I continued to do this for 3 years. I borrowed another, I don't know, maybe $3.5 to $4.5 million. I'm not sure.
So I would imagine this was fairly new to them. They haven't seen this before with you.
No. Once again, 20 some odd years ago, you know, they understood the crime. They knew it was happening. But I think that it wasn't as prevalent then as it is now. Now you can pick up the newspaper, it's happening all the time.
How often is this? How rampant is this?
I mean, that it's actually being covered. I think it's being covered, you know, a lot. It's being covered so much that Hillsborough County's economic crimes unit has brought me in several times to talk to their financial investigators or detectives, whatever they're called, to go over the crime. I've even been brought in to speak with several of the county in Florida's public records officials to explain, you know, exactly how I did these things. And even when I was talking to them, even when the sheriff was there asking them, what can we do to stop this? You know, the public records officials were just shrugging. They were like, there's nothing that we can do to stop this. Like, this is, and it's easier now than it ever was.
Is it cyber?
Yes, because I used to physically have to go downtown to public records. I would go in the building. Not, they can't ask for ID or anything. So you just kind of go through security.
Are you serious, dude?
Yeah, it's public like record. It's open to the public. So I get to go downtown. I get to search the title of your house. Well, it's worse now. I used to have to go downtown. So you at least have me on video.
Right.
You have me, I at least try to show my ID, right? Like I'd maybe show it, but it's not being recorded. If I showed it at all, and a lot of times they're not even allowed to, they're just supposed to ask you for it. But so I go to down and I spend a couple hours down there so people can ID me. But now I can go to my local Starbucks with my laptop, tie into their Wi-Fi, and I could pull up the title to your house online. And all I did is give them what? An email address? Like, I didn't give them anything. You know, I can go search your house, print off the deed to your house, print off your mortgage. I can sit on Word and I can prepare a transfer of deed, or, you know, a new deed, a new warranty deed, or a quit claim deed, whatever I want to do. And then I can satisfy the loan on your house. Then I can go online and I can take pictures of your house online, from online, and I can send those pictures to any number of companies that will, you know, what is it? Is it BlackRock? You know, and ask them if they want to buy the house. You know, these companies that are out there buying houses. Say, you know, and they'll come back. They'll give me a low ball. You know, they'll say, hey, we'll buy it for, you know, 90% of its value. They'll send out an appraiser. He'll do what's called the drive-by appraisal. He'll drive by the house, won't even go in. So we don't have to worry about the true homeowner realizing.
This is crazy.
They're going to drive by, take a photo of that house. They're going to take a photo of a couple comparables. They're going to come back. They're going to give some vague reason why they want to go slightly below market value. Then they're going to offer to buy the house. I'm, of course, going to hem and haw, but I'll say, okay, I need the money. We're going to schedule a closing at a title company, and then I can close that loan remotely. So I don't even have to go in to the title company. All I have to do is they'd call it it's a remote notary. I have to show them my ID and they'll look at it and, you know, and they might take a picture, a screenshot, or I could even email a copy of it front and back, but it doesn't matter. I could have bought that ID on a Russian website. So you do that. And then I can have that money. Once we close, I can have that money transferred to a bank account that I've opened online. And then I can have that money transferred to any number of, you know, debit cards. I could buy gold. I could buy, you know, I could buy diamonds. Like, you could have gold and silver and platinum delivered to your house. You know,
you want to be my financial advisor?
A bad idea. But, you know, like these are things that even if they said, hey, we want a pay stub, you can go on like paystub.net, I think it's called. I can get W-2s and pay stubs made.
This is insane, man. I'm just blown away by this.
It's super easy.
And they don't know until they get that foreclosure notice.
And not only that, you continue to make the payments, because I've done it to where I've made payments on the new mortgages just to hold off notification. So now it might be 4 to 6 months. So now you get notified. It's 4 to 6 months. Imagine by the time the authorities get involved, let's say it's 6 months later, how hard is it to catch me 6 months later? What do they have?
You're already on to like 50 new scams. I mean, how many were you doing a day?
Well, I mean, it's not that I wasn't doing multiple a day. I'm doing something fraudulent every single day toward the ultimate goal of the scam. You know, because it has such a huge.
So what was a price range you'd go after? Did it not matter?
Maybe 200,000, 300,000. That was 20 years ago. So what's that? A 400,000?
Yeah.
An average middle class home is what I would go after.
And you had no remorse. None.
No, it was really upset to you, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's that's crazy to me because, I mean, you're hurting families. You're hurting people.
I agree, but I'm, you know, like, I've never punched anybody. Like, you know, I mean, so
it's that's
like,
probably crazy to you, right?
Right. To me, that's like, you know, I've never beat anybody up. I hurt someone's feelings once. So
let me ask you this, man. What the hell does the homeowner do? Like, what can he do? Who do they call? Like, what is the FBI? I heard they put up a new division for this.
Yeah, they're. I mean, like, they're actively combating it. Not just that, Florida just Florida's passed a law that is saying that all the, I think it's new homeowners, they have to get their information to try and put them on a notification so they get notified. But that doesn't help anybody, the old homeowners, and it doesn't help the new ones either, because all they get is notified that, hey, there was a change, and I'm not even sure that the law went through. I know that they put it forth to be passed. I do not know that it was passed. And, you know, what they're saying is, let's notify these people. But if you're notified, what does that do?
Yeah. Is it,
like, what are you going to do? You may call the police. Even if you catch me, I've already transferred all of this stuff out of your name. So that's, you know, what homeowners have to do is this, is it's really, it's, they have to be notified, but they have to have their properties monitored. For instance, my credit card. Every time I use my credit card, it immediately says, like, bing, you know, you just spent $17 at Walmart. You know, bing, you just spent $120 at the dentist. So, you know, you get notified immediately, but your house?
Nothing.
Your house is worth $400,000 or $500,000, and I could just take your house, and you don't have any clue until the foreclosure shows up. So you have to have your house monitored. And that's one step. And that's great because it's someone like me, that's my worst fear, is that halfway through a scam, the homeowner's getting notified. That's a problem because now you've got a good chance of getting a hold of me.
Right.
You know, now you're going to be able to, they can, now they know who I am. They're going to start running some searches. They're going to find out what other inquiries have been made on that false credit profile. They're going to end up going to the banks. They're going to put out red flags. They're probably going to catch me in a bank. I know because I've been caught in banks and I've had friends or associates that have helped me do this crime, be caught in banks. And so that's a problem. But once I've been caught in the bank, it still doesn't fix your title. Your title's still been transferred, or maybe your mortgage has been satisfied, or maybe I've already borrowed money against it, or maybe I've sold the property. You got notified. It took them a week to figure it out and to maybe 2 weeks, another week to catch me. By that point, your house has been sold. I've gone to a closing. I've gotten money. You've got a major problem now. And the local, your local officials are not going to help you. So yeah. Your local law enforcement isn't going, they don't have a division, a restoration division. You know, right. If your house gets broken into and all your stuff gets stolen and you tell them, hey, I have video, and they look at the video and one of the cops says, hey, I know who that is. That's this guy down the street. Let's go get him. They pick him up. But you don't get your stuff back. They don't fix your front door that was kicked in or the window that was broken. They say, yeah, you're hit. Or maybe you have homeowner's insurance that covers that. You don't have homeowner's insurance that covers your home title being transferred or sold, or your mortgage is satisfied, so, new mortgages.
So what does Home Title Lock do then?
Okay, so what Home Title Lock does, one, they notify.
Is this a company you created or are you just a spokesman for it?
I just work with them, you know, to, I give, you know, give advice, and I also do things just like this. I'm a spokesman.
Okay.
So what Home Title Lock does, one, they notify you. Two, if they send you an email or notification on your phone or however you get your notifications and it says, look, there was a transfer of your title to another individual, do you know about this? And you say, absolutely not. You've now got an advocate. You have someone you can call. You have someone that's going to answer your questions, someone that's going to help you contact law enforcement and start the process of trying to get this individual caught. And you're also, more than any of that, because forget all that, what's the big thing is they're going to restore your title back to its original state. And that's the biggest part of this, because even if you catch the person like me,
so they clean up the mess.
They clean up the mess. That's the that to me is what puts them over the top as far as being notified. That's great. Does it fix my problem? I need my problem fixed. I need my title restored. And that's the big, big thing with Home Title Lock.
So what does this cost? Like a month? What is it? Is it a membership type thing?
It's like less than a dollar a day. You know,
it's about 30 bucks a month.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 20 something. I don't know. So, you know, it depends, but
what kind of information you got to give them all the information on your house, everything.
Yeah. Yes. Which
now I need to get started on this.
I was going to say they could get that with your name and the county you live in, you know, like they'll go through and they'll search it and you'll have to determine which property is yours. You know, what comes up, you say, yep, that's my property. And then they put you on a monitoring system where they're constantly.
Is it pretty easy to do? I mean, do you have to just give them the address to your home or do you have to get all these papers, and is it time consuming?
No, it's less than probably 3 to 5 minutes on the phone to sign up. If you want to make a phone call or if you don't.
I'm doing this now. So who do I call?
I mean, I would go to hometitlelock.com and either do it online or there's a phone number you can call also.
Yeah, I'd rather talk to somebody.
I me too.
Yeah, you know? I just rather talk to them.
And I'm not sure that all of their in-house communications are done, you know, in the U.S. So they're not outsourcing it to India.
It's not a company you run to, like, as a scam to, like, take their houses. Shit.
I've had somebody say that before. I'm not giving this guy any information.
You're probably thanks. Thanks for giving me all the information. Oh, man. I'm like, man, you're on the next level, bro. Oh, man. Jeez, man. Well, I got to tell you, man, did I miss anything here? Because I think we covered it all.
Yeah, I think that's...
So hometitlelock.com, fill it out or call the 800 number on there?
Yeah.
Whew, man, this is scary, dude. This is scary, man.
I don't know why I'm laughing. I shouldn't be laughing. You're making me laugh.
It's because I'm
You're gonna
crazy.
yell at me.
No, don't worry. Matthew Cox, ladies and gentlemen, I commend you. Thank you for coming on, spilling the beans. This is crazy. HometitleLock.com. I'm going to go on there. I'm going to call the number because I want to talk to somebody. So thank you, Matthew. Actually, stay right there. I could probably talk to you to get this done, right?
I don't feel anybody.
No, I mean, you can send me in the right direction, right?
Yeah, I can send
All
you
right,
in the
cool.
right.
All right, folks, get on it. Hit the link down below. Later.